We are back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Every month, we talk with cellist and Lake Effect contributor Robert Cohen about music and life in a segment that we call On That Note. This month, Robert is on tour, and he's been expanding his collaborative musical experiences. We reached him via Skype to find out more. Hello, Robert. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And where am I talking to you this month?
Well, I'm actually in Groningen in the Netherlands on tour. So I'm in a hotel room now.
Perfect. All right. And yeah, I actually know where that is. It's a beautiful part of the world. Very flat.
Yes. Well, between here and the concert hall, it's full of canals and beautiful, you know, Dutch houses everywhere. It's such a delight.
But you were also in Finland as well, right? Since we spoke at the beginning of the year, you've kind of been out and about quite a bit.
Yes, I've just actually been in a festival in Finland. It's the festival of my dear friend and very long-time partner in music, Heini Karkkinen. I think we've actually mentioned her before at some point. She runs a festival in Finland that I've been to every year since it started, I think 4 years ago. And it's always a pleasure to be with her and all her guests. And she does lots of different types of things in her festival. And the thing that really affected me enormously this year was an experience of playing Bach, but not just Bach, playing Bach with a jazz saxophonist, which is an idea that she proposed to me. And I was really reticent. I just thought, is this going to be kind of one of those gimmicky things, you know, mm-hmm. where you're mixing different genres and it kind of does or doesn't work. And it's just there to, you know, draw attention. But as it turned out, I said yes, because I trust her. As it turned out, the saxophonist was really incredible, Yuka. And he was just so sensitive, and he listened to me play each movement of the Bach solo suite number one, and then he spontaneously improvised on what he felt I'd done, and then I played the next movement. There are like six movements, and then he played again on the next thing, and I was just kind of amazed at how he took the classical thing and added this kind of twist of jazz, and it made me smile. I was literally smiling my head off at moments when he got kind of bluesy. But you know how Bach has so often been done in different ways.
And we've talked about that, how his music lends itself to all kinds of interpretations and ways of approaching it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, because we talked about it even recently so much, it was such a surprise to actually find myself not just listening to different people's doing things, but actually being involved in it. And when you play something so classical, well, you know, Baroque music, but it's the classical music thing. And then you get somebody taking a riff on that idea. And then you play again the next movement. I just found myself really bringing out things in the music which were more kind of the way you might look at them in jazz. You know, rhythms that were kind of internal rhythms, which I know are there, but just immediately following somebody playing around with those ideas so beautifully, bringing sort of different energies, I found myself, you know, just sort of getting involved in that and bringing out those qualities. And then, of course, he responded to that. And then most, you know, incredibly at the end, we decided to do an encore. You know, we got called back by the audience. And what I suggested earlier is that maybe we could actually play, you know, together, literally together, rather than just one and then the other. And so we played the first prelude with me playing sort of in the way that I might normally play it, but with him playing alongside. Well, we're going to hear that right now, aren't we?
Yes, yes, we are. This is the first movement, the prelude, in which it's the very
in
first.
G major,
The very famous one.
Yes.
The one everyone knows. And so it's you and the saxophonist Jukka Perko, right?
That's right.
Lovely. Let's hear a little bit of it. ¶¶ That's amazing. It's
incredible experience for me. I've just never done anything like that before.
Well, you know, it's so funny. In the time we've been talking together, you have gotten bolder and bolder with all of your willingness to experiment. I mean, you were playing Celtic music. You know, you're playing jazz now. It's just like it's really fun. It's fun to see that, you know, you're kind of reaching into all these places while still being so rooted in your art.
And, you know, what I just felt afterwards that I thought, you know, I could actually get into playing jazz, but I'd really have to do it with him. You know, you'd have to be leading me every moment.
Well, maybe not. Maybe for the first year, you know.
And we're definitely going to do it together because we both got so excited.
There's so many. Do you think you'll stick with Bach or do you think you'll try other things?
Well, we did talk about that because, of course, there's the other suites. And we talked about, because this is G major, maybe it would be really nice to do the D minor suite because, you know, the minor key brings all those dark emotions. And I'm sure that he would respond as a jazzer to that whole intimate darkness, you know, in another really surprising way.
Perfect so, saxophone stuff. Yeah.
We thought we could do that. And he does all these things with different saxophones. So the alto, he was playing on an alto sax for this, but he plays obviously tenor and soprano sax to bring different ideas. So who knows what he would use, which saxophone he would use for a different suite. And then we also talked about, well, maybe we should look at some really different sort of music, obviously solo cello. So maybe some more modern stuff, more modern music, and see how that works. But I think this is just kind of the beginning of a new exploration and a new way of kind of, like you say, just putting your toe in and kind of having a different sense of how music can be, and even your own music, how one can respond to that.
Yeah. No, it sounds terrific. And just the little bit I heard and how exciting that's going to continue. Well, in addition to, you know, exploring Bach in a new and exciting way, you also had a recent experience playing for audiences that don't normally get to hear music. And so what was that like?
Well, part of this festival, brilliantly, is, you know, to take music to people in who are really like long-term and in long-term care, so in the hospital. So we did two events in hospitals to very elderly people with, you know, with different conditions. And you will never know when you go what you're going to expect. And the energy is completely different. Obviously, you go and talk to people who are basically sitting most of their days. And the intimacy of playing live music to them, and you could feel very much how they really, really appreciated the fact that we'd gone to play music in the hospital. And their responses were quite astonishing sometimes. I mean, there was one lady who came immediately to talk to me after I played, and she was saying, oh, I used to dance when I was a child and I always loved music, and music is a gift to me, she said, and it comes into my body and then I feel such this gift of music inside me, and then that makes me want to dance. And she was saying, I mean, I don't know how old she was, but, you know, 80s, 90s possibly, and her eyes were, you know, lit up, and she was smiling and giggling, and the happiness that she said music brings her once it's inside her was so, you know, tangible. I mean, it was so beautiful to listen to her, the way she talked about how she was affected by music and how enormously grateful she was that we were there playing. And it wasn't just a radio or recording or something, but it was actually, she could feel the person playing the music. Mm. And when somebody speaks to you like that, and you know, it's hard to, when you go in, you think, well, I have this life traveling the world, giving concerts to people, and there are people here who are just here all the time, maybe for years, who knows? And how do we make this connection? How do we, you know, you start to think of yourself at that age, maybe you're going to be one of those people there. Mm-hmm. And it's just quite a profound, moving experience to make a connection to those people. And maybe, you know, all sorts of thoughts were coming to me. I was just thinking, you know, we do need to make a really good connection with elderly people when we are younger people who have this life and we do what we want in a sense. You know, we're free and they are not. And music can be so powerful for them. And I feel sure that they're going to live on that for some time, that experience of listening to music played live in front of them in a hospital. And it meant an awful lot to me to have that experience. And it reminded me that we need to do these things. We do need to make a connection. And music is such a good way to do it.
Yeah, it is. And because it doesn't require speaking. It doesn't require, you know, that kind of engagement. You can, you know, let it float over you, or you can take it completely into you. And it's all of it's good. And I was thinking as you were talking that, yeah, one of these days we're going to be there. And I would hope that somebody, you know, younger would bring music to me too.
Actually, my eldest son used to do this when he was a teenager. He used to go to our local home for old people and used to play the piano to them every week, actually, out of his own goodness of his heart. And clearly he was getting response from them that they really appreciated him enormously. And that was quite a few years ago. And just having this experience now reminds me that it doesn't matter whether you're just doing it for fun or you're a professional musician, you know, traveling around, it's still something that we have to do. And it's still important.
So in addition to improvising more, you're going to be doing that kind of thing more, I think.
I think I have to do that. We have to do that because everybody is important, aren't they? And I think that, you know, probably they get, I mean, it seemed to me in the particular hospital that the hospitals that we went to that were being very beautifully looked after, and they do all sorts of things to keep them, you know, entertained and to get involved in. But, you know, probably maybe it's only once a year that somebody goes in with an instrument and plays to them. I mean, that's what it seemed like. They were, you know, they were that amazed by it, really. And of course, they're really different to play to because they, sometimes people make noises and talk and do things because they're not all, you know, in that much control of themselves. So you get people who are just instantly responding to something that happens in the music maybe, and they just will literally say something out loud or sing just for a moment. And, you know, of course, I'm used to, you know, audiences being silent from beginning to end. And there they are. And in a sense, I suppose you can say they're a bit like when you go to a school to play to children. They don't know the etiquette and they're not necessarily going to keep still and they're going to, you know, make noises. And you have to say, well, that's fine because that's just their responses and the way they are. And you know, if you're in the care home and so on, you could, you know, it can be very similar to that.
Well, and I was going to say, if you're a jazz player, you're used to people talking back and responding and clapping and all of that. So as you get more jazz into your, or Irish music for that matter, Celtic music, same thing. People will laugh and whistle and, you know, if they like a particular passage, they think it's really quite stunning, people will just spontaneously burst into applause. And so this is preparing you for your jazz and Celtic music career, Robert.
And too late.
No, it's not too late. You can make that slight. You can have all of them. You can do all of them. I don't see why not.
Well, I'm actually even more respectful of these people. You know, I mean, Yoko is just such an incredibly inspiring musician and person, and a beautiful person, and somehow, of course, I feel like, you know, I am literally just dipping my toe into that. And so I just having the experience of working with somebody so amazing just makes you feel that you're not even scratching the surface. But it can be so fascinating to see how their brain works and they're working with your music, because he was working with my music. And he was so respectful of my music. And I saw, for instance, on the page, he wrote down, like jazz people do, chord numbers and mm-hmm. things that he could work, structures that he could work around. Because obviously, normally, I mean, when you're playing inspired by, directly by the classical music you just heard moments before, you do need to work with those structures that have been set down, in this case, by Bach. So he was writing out these patterns and things.
Chord charts. He was doing a chord chart for Bach. I love it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which actually, you know, is exactly what we need to do. We do as well, but we don't tend to write it down because we just are keep practicing and playing it. And we hear the different chords and their different characters and so on. But actually, it's a brilliant exercise for students to actually write it all out, just like a jazz person would do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm definitely going back to my students and saying, yeah, I know it's going from one key to another and this, but now I want you to write the chart out just like a jazz musician would do. And if you need to, you know, go off on a riff on that, then do that. But understand that, you know, these things are really closely connected.
Well, Robert, it is always great to talk with you. How long are you in Amsterdam?
We're literally traveling around the Netherlands for a week and then off to Slovakia, actually to play Bach.
There you go. It seems to be a Bach year for you so far.
It does, actually, yeah. And aren't I lucky?
Absolutely. You can't ask for better music.
No.
So, we will talk next month. And in the meantime, be safe, play well, and and safe home.
Thank you very much, Bonnie.
All right.
Great to talk to you.
Lake Effect contributor Robert Cohen is an internationally renowned cellist. He joins us each month via Skype to talk with us in a segment we call On That Note.